This edition of The Sessions at Midori House was first broadcast on the 19th of September 2015 on Monocle 24.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
Hello, my name is Robert Forster. And this song is called I Love Myself and I Always Have, and it's off an album called Songs to Play.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House with me, Andrew Muller. If the Go-Betweens had sold 1,000 records for every review they ever got, lamenting that they didn't sell thousands of records, they'd have been bigger than the Beatles. Though the commercial reward earned by the Go-Betweens never quite matched the critical acclaim and cultish adoration they did inspire, their legacy has persisted, and even grown, especially since the death in 2006 of the group's co-founder Grant McLennan. Our guest this week is the Go-Betweens' other pillar, Robert Forster. His new solo album, Songs to Play, is his first since 2008's The Evangelist, which was substantially a memorial for McLennan. Robert came to Midori House to talk about the new record and his new parallel career as a rock critic.
I love myself and I always have. I love myself and I always have. I had the light and I cut its shade. I had the dark, but I made it brave. I look into the mirror and I smile. And I'm running wild. Well, the whispered word is always true. What I could and couldn't do. What I could and couldn't achieve. A lap of honor, a time to leave. I march to my own beat. With a banner in the street. I love myself and I always have. I love myself and I always have. I hold myself in high regard. And loving yourself shouldn't be so hard. And I'm running wild. No, I'm not an only child. It's to the mirror that I smile. Boom, I love myself and I always have. Yeah, I love myself and I always have. And I'm running wild. No, I'm not an only child. I love myself and I always have. I love myself and I always have. Love myself and I always have. I love myself and I always have.
Robert, I want to start by asking about one of the songs you just played, the first one, I Love Myself and I Always Have. It is the second last song on your new album. And of course, in your book, 10 Rules of Rock and Roll, which you opened with your literal 10 Rules of Rock and Roll, one of them was the second last track is always the worst song on the album. Did you hesitate in the album arrangement because of that? Were you tempted to put 3 minutes of blank space as the second last track?
No, but I was aware. It was floating in my brain. But also at that stage, I probably overcompensated in a way because I wanted that song comes as a surprise deep in the album. The song before it is called Turn on the Rain, which is, you know, like a ballad. And the album ends with something that starts slow that then gets quicker. And so I didn't want the album to fade out in a way, the way many albums do. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of big statements, a lot of big tempos early in records. And artists sometimes think, oh, you know, just go out into the sunset. So I wanted a surprise deep in the album. And so you thought you knew the album, and then that came at song 9. So that was part of the thinking. And, you know, that it somehow coincided with that rule of mine, probably nudged it along.
I'll ask you more about the album shortly. I did want to ask about the book, 10 Rules of Rock and Roll, mm-hmm. because it was a collection of your rock writing. You're also a rock critic now for the Australian magazine, The Monthly, mm-hmm. which is something you've been doing mostly since the release of your previous album, which was a while ago now. Did the act of sitting down and writing about music change the way that you wrote it? Did it give you, I guess, a different perspective on songwriting and recording?
No, I don't think it did. I think it's almost the other way around. A lot of my thinking about music went into my journalism, but I don't think much of the journalism went into my songwriting. And I think I've always been the kind of musician who likes to verbalize what I do, and I'm quite analytical. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet a lot of musicians and you start talking to them about music, and this can be off microphone, and they'll just go, it's a feeling, I can't really explain that. It's you know, like, don't talk to me about music, man. It's just something that's, you know, in my heart and in my soul and da-da-da, which I think is true, you know, for a lot of people. But I was never that way. I was always quite chatty about it, and things were ticking in my mind, even when I was listening to, like, Marquee Moon back in 1977. Not that I was reviewing it in my mind, but I've always had that. Just the way my thinking functions is I can take in music, and I've come to realize this, on an enjoyment level, you know, just on a pure cerebral, it's coming at me, I'm loving it. And there's a part of me also that's always been a bit of a, what's going on here? A bit of a thinker on it. This is called Learn to Burn. Time's the signal and you wait for changes, and the problem is, you know, I got no patience, I got no desire to be the fourth person in line. It's a problem that I try to counter, so I learn to burn using much less matter, but it means that I turn off the thing that keeps me alive. So turn it on, turn it on, turn it up. I'm standing at the station waiting for someone to flag me and tell me I can go. So now you know.
It is 7 years, I think I'm right in saying, since The Evangelist, between that and this album. And that was an album on which Grant was very present in one way or another. Some of the songs were songs of his that he'd half written before he died that you later finished. There were songs, obviously, about him, etc. Does this feel like the first album you've made not as a go-between, with no reference to the group at all?
It is, in a way. It's even when I was, obviously now that I look back of it, and I hadn't really thought of this, but back in the 90s, although the go-betweens had stopped, Grant was still alive, so he was sort of hearing what I was doing, and I was hearing what he was doing, where now that's gone. And you're right, my last solo album, The Evangelist, from 2008, was very much linked to Grant and the last go-betweens album. So this album, right from the get-go, after finishing The Evangelist, whatever came next, I didn't know. I just wanted some time to pass. I didn't want to put out an album in 2 years' time. I didn't want it to go, okay, Grant's died, I've made an album 18 months later, and now here I am again 18 months later with a whole new feeling, whatever that feeling was. I just wanted to stop and just let some time go by while I compiled material and while I thought about my next move, while still doing journalism and doing other things.
One of the things you have been doing, as well as making this record, is, I guess, curating the most complete, I guess, assembly yet of the Go-Betweens' legacy. This is the G stands for Go-Betweens' cavalcade, cornucopia, if you will. The first volume came out this year. It's been a long time now that you've been associated with the Go-Betweens. Have you got your... Have you ceased to be surprised, I guess, by the endurance and the scope of the legacy?
No, because we built it like that. We built it. We built it to last 1,000 years. So I've only just begun, Andrew.
But was that really the plan from day one? We're going to form a band that people will still talk about 40, 50, 60 years from now.
Yes, that was the plan. The plan, though, was also that the group was, this is going right back to the start, the group was going to be our calling card. So Grant and I had ambitions to be filmmakers and be other things. We saw it as a sort of creative partnership. And so those other things didn't get made because the band just took over our lives. Mm. And we became obsessed with music, which we were at the start. But the band was just going to be the start of it. We probably thought other things would be involved in the legacy or whatever we were doing. So the surprise is that it was only music. But then if we're putting our shoulders completely to the wheel, then of course we expect the music to last. I open presents before Christmas for my crimes. She's a witness, seen me in good times, known me in bad. And this next song is called Let Me Imagine You. There was silence, things we didn't know. There was romance, where I couldn't go. Please don't tell me. Let me dream and guess. Please don't tell me. Let me dream and guess. I missed the ballet you directed. Was it a big success? Let my imagination now move those figures around my head. Are you in Paris? Deep in trouble, yes. Is the memoir finished? Let me dream and guess. Heard that you went shopping and bought such beautiful things. Let me get my calculator and add up the cost of all those things.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Robert Forster, and his new album, Songs to Play, is out now on Tappet Records. Robert will be touring in Australia and Europe later this year. Dates can be found at www.robertforster.net. This show was produced by Holly Fisher, mixed by Alex Funnell. I'm Andrew Muller. Thanks very much for tuning in.
Let me imagine you. I find it sweeter. Let me imagine you. Let me imagine you. Let me imagine you. Let me imagine you.